Lord, we live by every word proceed out of your mouth.
Amen.
Thank you this morning you gather us.
Amen.
Again into your name.
Amen.
So we can enjoy you, enjoy your word.
Amen.
Your words are a lamp to our feet.
Amen.
And the light to our path.
Amen.
Lord, we do need your shining.
Amen.
Keep us in the light.
Amen.
Lord, we love you and praise you.
Amen.
To cleanse us and cover us.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray. Since this morning we are reviewing last week's verses, so we just read 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses through 1 through 9. I will just share what I enjoyed, and later on that we all can share with one another. I will begin with one verse. Maybe you can read verse 7 together. One more time. For who distinguishes you? And what did you have you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast, though not having received it? I enjoy this verse. Tell us, of course, Paul was speaking this word to the Corinthians. Through this verse, we see that Corinthians, they have received. And reading this verse, I just realized we all, as Christians, we are receivers. We are not first the givers. We are the receivers. We have some verses from the Morning Watch sheet. Mentioned concerning the word, the matter of receiving. And the Lord just touched me. There are a few other verses on the matter of receive, on the matter of receiving. Maybe we can read them together. One verse is John 1, verse 12. So some of the verses we read will be from the Morning Watch verse sheet. And other verses will be, you know, what the Lord touched me and I picked, like John 1, 12 and 16. Let's read together. But as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become children of God, to those who believe into his name. 16. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. So our Christian life began with are receiving the Lord.
Amen.
If we never receive the Lord, we won't be a Christian. So the receiving is the believing. When we receive the Lord Jesus, we have the authority to become the children of God.
Amen.
This is the beginning of our receiving. In our Christian life, in fact, we continue to receive. That's why in verse 16, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Another verse touched me was Hebrews 4:16. I think it's here also. Maybe the brothers can I didn't put it on the verses sheet. That verse mentioned that we all can come forward.
Amen.
To the throne of grace.
Amen.
That we may receive mercy and find grace. You know, again, you know, the Lord opened the way. His blood opened the way that daily we can come to the throne of grace. That we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. And that verse also mentioned that out of his fullness, in John 1:16, out of his fullness, we all have received, and grace upon grace.
Amen.
So even receiving grace is not once for all, you know. We can come again and again.
Amen.
To the throne of grace and to the Lord himself to receive grace.
Amen.
Okay, well, maybe we can continue with Romans 8:15. Let's read together. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, bringing into fear again, but you have received a spirit of sonship, in which we cry, Abba, Father. Yeah, this verse is very precious. You know, during the Lord's table, we remember the law, and then the second part of the Lord's table, we come to the Father. We worship Him, you know. His boundless love has reached us. And we can call Him Abba, Father. This is something very spontaneous, you know. It's not like, you know, when I call my wife's father, you know, he's her father. The first time was not easy. Because he's my father-in-law. He was my father-in-law. He wasn't my real father. But to me, my real father is very spontaneous and very sweet to call him father. Now God is our Father.
Amen.
How about this? All call Abba Father. Abba Father. Right. Again. Abba Father. We are truly His children. Because He has begotten us. And every one of us, once we receive Him, we have His life. And we are His children. But the receiving, there is the matter of more. Let's read Romans 5:17. For if by the offense of the one death ran through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Here mentioned that we can receive the abundance of grace, you know. Imagine that we can come to the throne of grace, right? Receive mercy and find grace. But here mentioned that those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, those who are reign in life. This is truly a very high in our Christian experience, you know. That is, we can reign in life. Because the divine life has given to us, and because when we receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we can reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read 1 Peter 1:9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of our souls. The salvation of your souls. So our receiving is continued all the way, even at the end, there will be the salvation of our souls. So when we receive the law, our spirit is regenerated, and we have received the divine life into our spirit. But God's desire is not just that we will be saved just in the one part of our being. God's desire is that we will be even saved in our soul. This is what's going on, you know, day to day, every day in our life. Even this morning, I need to be saved. Amen. Even this morning, you need to be saved. We need to be saved in our mind. Our mind needs to be renewed, you know. We need to be saved in our emotion. Our emotion may be, you know, not so loving. Sometimes we're cold. But, you know, during the Lord's table, you know, every Lord's table, I just feel my love is rekindled.
Amen.
How about your love?
Amen.
You know, the Lord's table is the Lord's table. We all are guests. We all are sitting here because He has invited us, not anyone. While we're sitting here, the Lord is the one feeding us, caring for us. He is the host. We are the guests. With His presence, while we're singing, while we're praying, you know what? He touches us with His love. He supplies us with His spirit. So every Lord's table, after the Lord's table, I just feel I'm a different person. Because there is the salvation of the soul. The Lord touched me. The Lord touched you. in our, not just in our spirit, but also in our soul, in our mind, in our emotion, in our will. Sometimes, you know, coming to the meeting, we may not be so willing, but after the meeting, the Lord, through the meeting, we receive grace. And the willingness is generated within us. So this is the Christian life, not by our own efforts, not by our striving, but rather the Lord is the one. It is God who operates in us, both the willing and the working. Praise God for our wonderful Christian life.
Amen.
By receiving the grace day by day.
Amen.
Okay, let's read 1 John 2:27. And as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone teach you. But as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as he has taught you, abide in him. You know, the Lord has, once we should receive him, he has come into us, and within us, he's the anointing. And this anointing is not just an ointment, but rather it's anointing. That means it's something moving, something operating, something anointing you. Sometimes we don't feel smooth inside, but just by coming to the meeting, by reading his word, touching the Lord a little bit in prayer, and the anointing teaches you. I enjoyed yesterday a little bit. After the morning, it was a little, I just feel a little tired and this, that. And I just talked to the Lord, and I finished what I want to say to the Lord, and I just feel this anointing in me, recovering me,
Amen.
And supplying me, and teaches me. So praise the Lord for the anointing we have received.
Amen.
Okay, the Lord has given, there are many other verses concerning the receiving, but I just want to stop here and go on to the next part that I enjoy very much. That is, maybe we should read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, we started 1 Corinthians chapter 4, but the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where chapter 4 picks up. And this is also touches this matter. Let's read together, 3:21-23. So then, that no one boasts in man, for all things are yours. This verse tells us that the church in Corinth, God has given them, of course, in Paul's content, he mentioned that Paul was given to them, and Apollos was given to them, and also Cephas was given to them. And not only so, also the whole world, even life and death, they are given to them. And he mentioned even things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. You know, I reading these verses, the Lord remind me another verse. That is in Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. That is also a very precious verse. I feel it's about it's along the same line as what we just read. Romans 8:32. It mentioned that indeed he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? God gave us his son. God gave us with his son all things. So thank the Lord. Everything, God has gave us everything. Even God said, you know, in the Romans mentioned that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to the purpose. Praise the Lord for this. I'm very rich because God has given me so much. We all are very rich. God has gave us his son, and God has gave us all things. Now I want to touch the second point that I enjoy very much in this portion of the word. That is, God gave us so much for what purpose? That is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read it together. Again, we read earlier. Yeah. A man shall count us in this way, a servant of Christ, and the truth of the mysteries of God. In chapter 3, Paul mentioned to the Corinthians, he has planted and Apollo has watered, but God gave the growth. So he mentioned he's a planter and Apollo is a waterer, but God is the one who gave the growth. God gave the growth. God gave, in fact, all things. But in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul mentioned that he is a servant of Christ. And in fact, you know, Paul, as an apostle, he represents all of us. We believers are all servants of Christ, whether we realize it or not. This morning here, I'm standing here, you're sitting here, I'm a servant, you're a servant. We all are servants. We are servants of Christ. In Revelation, he mentioned he made all of us kings and priests to God. So we are truly very high, you know, in what God has given to us to have the privilege to be the servants, to serve. But this verse not only mentioned the servants of Christ. I want to mention a few, another two verses concerning that, along with this verse. That is Philippians 3:17. Philippians 3:17 is after 1 Corinthians 3. Yeah, let's read together. Be imitators together of me, brothers, and observe those who thus walk, even as you have us as a pattern. So Paul, as a servant of Christ, is a pattern. So we all also can be the servants of Christ. In Ephesians, I will just read it. So you don't need to read. In Ephesians 4:11 and 12. These two verses, they mention that God gave in Christ after his resurrection. In his ascension, he gave gifts to men. And these gifts are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds and teachers. He gave the gifts for a purpose. In other words, Paul as an apostle to the Corinthians is for a purpose. Here he mentioned that for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So Paul as an apostle, at the same time, he was perfecting the Corinthians so they can do the same as what he did. So they are also to be the servants. The servants, you can serve in different places. But according to the context, this servant is also stewards. Stewards are not the ones laboring outside. The stewards are in the house. In fact, in God's house. So we see in 1 Corinthians 3, there was a verse mentioned that we are the temple of God. That's 1 Corinthians 3. Maybe I should read it to you in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 16, it mentioned that, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Amen. So we are the temple of God. You know, this morning there was a sister called him concerning the definition of the church. Usually we don't see the definition of the church in the Lord's Table meeting so much. But that verse mentioned about the church is God's house. So the servants in God's house are the stewards. Paul mentioned he is the stewards. He with the other apostles, they are stewards of the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God. In other words, this word stewards has the same root as economy. That's the word economy. Economy is mentioned in 1 Timothy 1:4. It mentioned that Paul was charging Timothy when he was going into Macedonia that he should remain in Ephesus, that in order to charge certain ones not to teach differently, but God's economy. So God's economy, or oikonomia, has the same root as to a stewardship. On God's side is God's economy. On our side is the stewardship, the stewards. So this matter of stewards of the mysteries of God has very much to do with God's economy. That is God's plan according to God's desire. That God has a desire, that is, he wants to dispense himself into all of us. And our God is a rich God. You know, the picture here is, in the ancient time, there are big families, you know. There are many members in the family, so there is a need of a steward to dispense the riches, the food, or clothing, or other things, to all the members of the household. And Paul here picture himself that he is a steward in God's house in order to carry out God's desire, that God wants to dispense himself into all of us. So Paul was doing such a service and ministering the mysteries of God. In the New Testament, there are many verses. Even last Friday when we were going over this portion of the word, a brother mentioned that in the New Testament there are many verses concerning this matter of mystery. There's a mystery of the kingdom of God, and there's a mystery of the gospel, and there's in Colossians mentioned the mystery among the Gentile, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So all these are mystery. There's the mystery of faith, and even the mystery of lawlessness on the negative side. In Revelation we see there's the mystery of the seven golden lampstands. You know, all these are mysteries mentioned in the New Testament. But the one related to economy, which is this word stewards, has its root the same as economy, God's plan, is related to God's two mysteries. That is the mystery of God, which is Christ, and the mystery of Christ, which is the church. So these two mysteries in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, it mentioned that this is the great mystery, Christ and the church. So Paul was faithful, even while he was writing this epistle to the Corinthians. We just finished chapter 1, 2, 3. In every chapter, you can find these two matters, Christ and the church. So we really thank the Lord. You know, he mentioned that it is sought in stewards that one be found faithful. And Paul is a real faithful steward because he is faithful to minister Christ to the saints and minister the church to the saints. When Brother M. Mark was here, he mentioned in 1 Corinthians, it's such a book, you know. I mentioned Christ and his cross. It's a solution to all the problems in the church. Paul, in such a book, he mentioned 20 items concerning Christ. In chapter 1, he mentioned Christ is both theirs and ours. And he is God's power, he is God's wisdom. And he is both righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This is Christ. So Paul was ministering Christ to the Corinthians while he was dealing with their problem of divisions. You know, again, chapter 2, he mentioned Christ is the Lord of glory. And he's also the depths of God. You know, in chapter 3, he mentioned that Christ is the foundation. Paul has laid the foundation. No one else can lay other foundations. Then chapter 3 mentioned the temple of God, you know, which is the church. So in every chapter, in the first two, three chapters, we see all these matters mentioned in Paul's writing concerning the church and concerning Christ. And I was very helped when I just kind of going back a little bit when Paul said the steward has to be faithful. So I went back to chapter 1, 2, and 3 and found out he is truly faithful. So in the church life, we all need to be faithful to minister Christ and the church to one another. There's another verse we had in the morning watch verses concerning the matter of in God's house we need to be faithful. That is Matthew 24 verse 45 and 46. Maybe we can read that verse together. That's two verses. Those are also in the Tuesday morning watch sheets. Let's read that together. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. So even this morning, we all are here, not just, you know, come to a meeting, we meet the Lord, but we are also here to give food to one another. And the meeting is the appointed time. So we all, if we have enjoyed the Lord, then during the Lord's table time, even during the, you know, after my sharing, it will be your turn. We all can give food at the appointed time, you know. On one hand, we are receivers. We have received so much. And now there's a time for us also to be the givers, to give food at the appointed time. You know, recently we are very burdened. That's why the morning watch verses, we have the sheet, you know, the sheet with all the verses. But we also have, now we have an expanded version with the footnotes and then with some abstract excerpt, you know, from the life study message or other spiritual writings. And those are very enjoyable, you know. Sometimes the word may not be so clear. Sometimes I enjoy the word, you know. But sometimes, you know, when I have a little explanation, that helps me to get into the word. And that's why we encourage so many saints, you know. Every day, we should be a receiver. Not just coming to the meeting, you know, I just say, some saints say, oh, I came, you know, I was a difficult day, I didn't get anything, I come to the meeting, and now I'm a receiver, you know. If we all come empty to come to receive, then the meeting will be empty. Because no one give food. So we all need to, on the one hand, we need daily, you know, every morning, every day, to come to the Lord, to receive something from the Lord. And then when we come together, we can give food to one another. You know, quite often, you know, the one that never said anything before, His sharing and her sharing was the most nourishing one, right? We know sometimes the conference, you know, the saints went away, and in the meeting, there are few. Those times sometimes are the most precious time, because so many saints, they never shared before, in that occasions, and they start sharing, you know. May we all be those who give food at the appointed time. How about let's say that together? Give food at the appointed time. So, God's house needs not just the receivers, but also the dispensers. So we can all enjoy one another's portion. And, you know, the verse mentioned, you know, the very, very precious. Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he come, will find so doing. May we all be blessed to be the givers. Okay, the lastly I will share, in fact, the last part is what touches me the most during this time when we went over 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. That is verse 9. Let's read together. For I think God has set forth us, the apostles, last of all, as doomed to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. For a while, I could not understand too well about this verse. Of course, this verse has its background. That is, during Paul's time, there was the criminals. They were sentenced to death, and they will fight with the wild animals as an exhibition, you know. They have this amphitheater, you know. They have different shows. The last one will be the fighting of the criminals doomed to death to fight against the animals. And Paul compared himself and the other apostle to be such. So he mentioned that they have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to man. And he used the word, they are the spectacles, a show. But in this show, they are the ones doomed to death. In other words, they are dying. If you check the references, some of the references I have here, it mentioned that Paul, you know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul mentioned about some of the places, chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. Maybe we can just read it quickly, and I just want to mention a little bit, then we can finish. Let's read together. Always bearing about in the body the putting to death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who are alive are always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death operates in us, the life in you. You know, Paul, again, he's an example to all of us. So not just Paul is a spectacle, doomed to death. Even we, every one of us, we are also part of this. You know, there are a lot of plays, you know, people, the actors, you know, they will act in this kind of plays. Some, you know, it has to be real, then look real. It's not real, right? All the plays, with Broadway shows, they are plays. They are actors in those situations. But in this one, this is real. But this is not physical. This is not physical. So in fact, my understanding is Paul was daily die. He daily died. Maybe we can read some other verses concerning this matter. 8:36. As it is written, for your sake we are being to death all day long. We have been accounted as sheep for slaughter. So Paul says he is being put to death all day long. Okay? And in Philippians 1:20, he mentioned that according to his earnest expectation and hope, in nothing shall be put to shame. So in life or in death, that Christ might be magnified. I think none of us want to see ourselves, you know, just in a kind of a play. But truly, Paul's example is he died to himself in order to live Christ. That Christ might be magnified. That Christ might be expressed. You know, this is a destination not just for Paul, but also for all of us. Today, if we live a life dying to ourselves, then Christ will be magnified. We have a hymn, no death, no life. So today, Paul is an example and he is a pattern. So that's why Paul said in the beginning of the 1 Corinthians, he knows nothing but Christ and him crucified. So today, we are experiencing this, you know. There are saints, you know, every day, including us. We daily are going, we're going through something, and this something sometimes is visible to the to other people. There was a story I think you may have heard during the in China, the Boxer Rebellion. There was a little girl. He was poor because he was a believer. He was poor to be executed. And on the way he was executed, everybody, you know, other people watching. And this girl, while being executed, but he has no fear. She has no fear. And he has an expression on his face. When people looked at this, I heard later one brother was saved. Amen. Just by looking at this young girl. But this is kind of extreme, right? But in fact, every day, you know, if this morning you are in some kind of situation, you know, I know some of the saints, including me, we go through some situation. If something happens, you may react, right? I mean, I will react. But if you die to yourself, let me tell you, life will flow in you in the meetings. Paul is such. He is such a spectacle. Die to himself. The lie may be generated, flow through us. I think we all need, we are in this together. To be, this is a universal show. This is just a local theater. So we are all part of this spectacle, seen by angels and seen by men. And praise the Lord. We all can die to ourselves and magnify Christ. Amen. So death in us, life in others. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll stop here.
Death in us, life in others. Amen. You know, not all of us find it so easy to be stewards of the mysteries, to be stewards of Christ and all his riches. So, for that, we need to die to self. Forget about losing your face. And then just share what you have enjoyed. And then you'll be a steward. Amen. Of the mysteries of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Benjamin wants to say something too.
We always speak very short. Okay? Probably my sharing will be even shorter than these two. But even though it's very short, but what we have talked about is extremely important. So the first thing I want to say is, in the book of Revelation, we can see that in the eternity future, none of us will be without a job. We'll have job in eternity future.
Right.
We are all, in the eternity future, we are all serve God.
Amen.
And Brother Watchman Yee once said, we all need to serve the Lord today.
Right.
Because today's serving is try to train us how to serve in the eternity future.
Amen.
The first thing we need to realize that the one we serve in this very clear, it says, we're serving God. And this guy is mysterious. Our God is a mysterious God. Therefore, we need to know our God is a mysterious God. But don't worry. How can we understand God? That is, we need to know Christ.
Amen.
So, unfortunately, that verse was not there. But anyway, we need to know that our Lord, the one we are serving, is a one mysterious.
Right.
But don't worry. This mystical God can be understand because Christ is this one. Christ can. Right. If we want to know God, we need to know Christ. The more you know Christ, the more you know God. Therefore, it's very clearly mentioned here. The God is mysterious. And that how do we know this mysterious God? Christ.
Amen.
You know Christ, you know God.
Amen.
Today, you know, in the world, many, many people, they wanted to look for, they want to know God. Many, you know, religions, they all try to know God. But then they cannot. Why? Because they don't come to Christ. And there are many. For instance, in Taiwan and also in China, a very famous God is Ma Zu. So then they worship this Ma Zu. It's a little girl, but she was died early, but she was very care for those fishermen. So they, after this Ma Zu died, and they sacrifice other things, they build many temple to worship this one, but still they don't know God. Why? Because Ma Zu is not the mysterious of God, and he is not Christ. So today, without Christ, nobody can really understand God. But then when we come to the book of Ephesians, now we have those few verses there. That verse is what? Christ is also mystery. If we want to know God, we need to know Christ. And Christ also is mysterious. But then, how can we know Christ? Then, amen. Very good. So you will be next to speak, right? What our brother said, really, it's very, very correct. Well, how can people know Christ? Church, we need to live Christ, and we need to express God. The only way is through a healthy church. So this is very practical, but yet we all need to see our burden. I mean, all of us, we are very important mission. We have to experience God, enjoy God. No, we need to experience Christ and enjoy Christ and eating and experiencing Christ. Then when they see us, That is all of us. When we see the body of Christ, the church, then they can know the church, and if they can know the Christ, then you can know God. Amen. Then in the eternal future, then we all can be good servants to the God. Amen.